Hey, it's another Thursday evening edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Great to have you along with us. Gus Kautz to my left, Tom Kautz, and our wonderful Sport Look sponsors who make it all possible. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus, we got so much going on. Upcoming sports schedule full, like it should be this time of the year. And tomorrow night, we're going to go to Horton, Kansas, where the Horton Chargers are going to be looking to get on a winning streak. It'll be Horton hosting Valley Falls, 7 o'clock tomorrow night here on CARE. And then Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens, making their longest road trip of the season, will be at Clark. You'll hear that game here on CARE with the pregame at about 12:30. And it'll be Benedictine and the Pride, a 1 o'clock kickoff from Dubuque, Iowa. Well, I'll tell you what, that all said, last week there were some really interesting games, and then there were some that were a little more one-sided around the area. And looking at the Meadowlark League, how about those Phoenix? Huh? Another nice W for Coach Smith and Atchison High. They got by Sumner, another game at home, winning at 47-20, and Atchison's offense rolling up points.
Yeah, I think that's the story right now, right? It's the offense for Atchison, how many points they're able to put up, and Coach Smith, again, another 47-point game. And so, again, their offense pretty lights out. Again, though, you look at the defense, and you only give up 20 points. That's not a bad outing either. So.
No. So congratulations to them. Other games around the conference. Highland Park, where'd these guys come from? They join the conference, and suddenly they're good. They knock off Schlegel, a team that has had some success. They knock them off 48-29 last week. You've got Wyandotte going over to Ruskin, Missouri. Ruskin winning that one. And big blanking Washington over Harmon by a bunch. So that's how it went in the Meadowlark last week. Looking at the NEKL, you and I traveled down to Winchester, Kansas, and saw, I would say, arguably maybe the best game in the conference, as the Tigers scored early and were able to persevere, winning 14-6 over JC, and that was a thrilling game. Good game.
Yeah, it was a fun game, right? ACCHS, I think, you know, for me, I walked away from that game saying that defense is pretty good, you know, and we talked about how well Tyler McCray played, is anchoring that nose tackle of the 34 defense, but the Tigers smothering on the defensive side. They do a great job up front, eating up offensive linemen. Those linebackers are fast. They get up there. They fill the gaps quickly. You know, they don't let a whole lot happen over the top. I mean, they're going to be a difficult team to play this year, and so it's good to see ACCHS flip the script a little bit, talk about JCN. They had moments, right? Like, they kind of got behind the eight ball early, had some turnover problems, but then late in the game, they were able to put it together, get some good drives, and then just, you know, came up a little short. And JCN going to be a tough out for a lot of teams as well this year.
Looking at the team we're going to be seeing tomorrow night, Horton, a huge win at home over McLeod, 22-14. That is the other game in his conference that was probably a pretty good game, but maybe bigger than that, a long, long seasons of losing for Horton, now behind him as they notch a W. Good for them.
Yeah, Horton lost in the first week at Jackson Heights, but turn around and beat McLeod. And then they're going to be home three straight games, okay? So they were home last week against McLeod. They're home this week against Valley Falls. Next week they're going to be home against Nemaha Central. But, again, it would be a good feeling to be able to put together back-to-back wins and just see what that does for your program going forward.
Talk about Jackson Heights. They were at MHMA last week, and Cobras are good. Seems like they're just perennially good, and they were able to beat the Ravens at Guy Galley Field 50-21 last week.
A lot of points were put up last week, right?
Pleasant Ridge, where'd that offense suddenly come from out of nowhere?
Yeah, 40-point win over Oskaloosa, where the offense puts up 60 points. I mean, that's a good night. And then Troy drops 63 on Valley Falls. And, you know, when we were coming back from Winchester the other night, looked like a good crowd that turned out from Troy going
to Valley
Falls.
No question. And, you know, let's be real, for Valley Falls, there's some adjustment to be made as you're making that transition the first year back in 11-man football after, you know, the school has grown a little bit in size and has left the 8-man ranks. So that's how it went last week. This week in the Meadowlark, Atchison's going to make a road trip. Be a little bit different for them as they're going to go down to Harmon. And again, Harmon struggled last week, so it looks good for the Phoenix. Sumner will head for Topeka. And that should be a pretty good game with Highland Park. You've got Wyandotte going to Schlegel and Washington. And right now, they may be the surprise team for me, at least, in this conference. They're going to get a test over at Bonner Springs. Looking at the NEKL, we've already mentioned that we will have the Valley Falls and Horton game on Friday night here on Care Radio. You'll also see Pleasant Ridge traveling out to Jackson Heights. Wabunsee is going to be in Winchester at Jefferson County North. It'll be Oskaloosa at ACCHS. And rounding it out, it is McClough back up at Guy Galley Field at MHMA.
Okay, how weird is it? This would be almost, basically, the last week before you get into districts, right? Every team has one more game that they'll, like, sprinkle in the schedule somewhere. Like, ACCHS, their second-to-last game is a non-conference game. Maybe Troy, but I'm sure I got that wrong. But next week, a lot of these teams are going to be playing district opponents. So, for me, it's just crazy that, you know, season just started, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of part of that expanded district. So
that all said, a lot of high school football going on around the area and college football. For us, it was a great game for the Benedictine Ravens as BC back at home and easily handled. I say easily. I felt like they got a good lead early, and I didn't feel like they were ever really challenged, although we knew Peru came in with great athletes, and having beaten Benedictine a year ago, Ravens with a 31-7 win at home.
Yeah, I mean, Ravens got up 14-0. Then Peru fought back, scored a touchdown with 5 minutes to go in the first half, but Benedictine took a 21-7 lead into the locker room and then just knocked off a couple in the second half, and just really wasn't a part of that game was Peru. And Benedictine, again, you like what their offense has done? Really like what the defense is doing right now. Not giving up a whole lot of points. They held down Grandview a couple weeks ago. It's just one of those things where I think the defense is really putting all the pieces together. The offense is starting to click. This team's going to be dangerous this season.
Now, talk about dangerous. You look around the conference, and I'm really confused because number 22 Culver Stockton was beaten by Evangel last week to the tune of 26-0. And that led to Evangel sweeping the conference Heart Weekly Awards for offensive, defensive, and special teams player. Quarterback, Michael Murray scored a couple of touchdowns, 6 catches for 108 yards, averaging 18 a catch. Athene Leverfan, he is an incredible defender out of Oklahoma.
Didn't he also win National Player of the Week this week, I believe. So, you know, he's one of those guys that's really good in the back end of that defense.
And then let's flip this over. By the way, he had 3 interceptions. One was a pick six, right. So that's pretty good numbers. And then their punter and kicker, Ryan Connor, was the Special Teams Player of the Week. And I kind of have mixed feelings about that. Because when you're a kicker, if you're only, you know, they got 26 points, so you didn't kick a whole heck of a lot of points. What he did was, are you ready for this? 11 punts. Now, if you're
so 11 punts,
11
you should be disqualified.
Punts,
okay.
Yeah, he punted for 449 yards, averaging about 41 yards a kick. 5 of those punts pinned Culver inside the 20-yard line, and he had 161-yard kick. So, I mean, but again, come on, man. How do you win a game and punt the ball 11 times? In this day and age, how are you getting 11 possessions?
Right. And for Culver Stockton, they were one of those teams coming into this season. Everybody kind of had high hopes for it. It looked like they were kind of turning the corner last season. I don't know that I completely bought into it. And then I feel like the clock struck midnight in week 2 when they lost to Baker. And they've just been the pumpkin that we kind of thought they were.
Yeah, last week, other games that went on. It was the big one down in Baldwin City. It was Grandview and Baker.
Should have been big, right? And then Grandview thumps Baker by 20 points. And again, that's one of those games where you thought it would be close. It probably couldn't live up to that Benedictine Grandview game because there's not going to be a whole lot of games that do, right? But I expected Baker to show up, especially with that thing being at Liston, but it was all Grandview and then an easy trip back over 35 and right back into Des Moines.
Yeah. Now, Central Methodist, a team that we've chronicled already, has got some issues and some difficulties going into the year, but they hosted Clark Saturday, and there was the most stunning score probably of the entire weekend as Clark won the game 3-0. Okay? Victor Marino hits a 28-yard field goal with 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter for the only points of the game.
Okay. Here's the bigger question for me. Can Clark score more than that this week? There's a chance they don't.
Maybe not.
Right?
Maybe not. With any luck, yeah. No.
So, anyway, then you talk about Missouri Valley. It's one of those teams I can't put a finger on what has happened to Missouri Valley over the years. And I think Graceland is getting better. I think Coach Ross will have them in a better spot next year. But, again, Graceland down at Missouri Valley, and that thing went into overtime before the Vikings win 28-21.
Mid-America had no trouble with William Penn, and maybe the Pioneers are a little better than I think they are. They win 33-9 in that game.
I think that Mid-America is probably just explosive, right? We saw that in the last game of the year against Benedictine when they came to Atchison. They scored a lot of points. I think that's the thing is, hey, you know, it's like the Raven basketball of the early 90s. We're going to score a whole lot of points. You just have to score more than us. And I think that's what Mid-America is this year. William Penn, I don't understand that thing, right? They're 0-3. They're struggling. They did score a touchdown. Then their other 2 points came off of a safety in the third quarter. So, again, they are struggling. Games going on this week in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. Grandview is going to be at home with Mid-America. Baker will be at the Oak Bowl for a 1 o'clock game. Missouri Valley at Culver for a night game. Evangel at Penn for a night game. Central Methodist at Graceland for a night game.
Yeah, so we got noon for one, two of them at 1 o'clock, including the Ravens, and then three more night games, three more 6 o'clock games in this conference come Saturday.
There's not a game in the conference that's, like, great this week, right?
There are no real classic matchups.
I think the interesting one for me might be Mid-America-Grandview because I don't think that will be a game. I'll be interested to see if Mid-America can score points against Grandview. But probably the best game in... I wouldn't listen to it, tune it in, or go to it. It would be Central Methodist Graceland. I think Graceland could probably win that thing, but again, I think that will probably be the closest game of the evening.
Should be some good ones, and again, Benedictine on Saturday, and we'll be bringing you that game from the Dubuque, Iowa field.
So, what is it, Dolezelle Field maybe up there in Dubuque? Uh-huh. And so, this week, we got our newest Top 25. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Number one of the year. Benedictine moves from being unranked all the way up to number 15. Kaiser took a fall from 7 to 14. And, again, playing two Division I teams, or their only two losses. They're 1-2. But you look up and down the top 25, not a whole lot of surprises in the top 5. Morningside 1, Grandview 2, Lindsey Wilson up a spot to 3, Northwestern dropped a spot, having lost to Morningside, and Marion at number 5. Southwestern Kansas moves from 8 to 6. Concordia, Michigan, they are 1-1. They fall to number 7. They fell one spot because they played Stetson, Division I Stetson, and lost, closely, mind you, by like 10 points. And so they did drop a spot.
What I cannot figure out is how Baker loses a game. And it wasn't even very close.
By 20.
Yeah, wasn't even close.
At home.
At home. And they went up. Now, you'll have to explain that to me because Baker moves from 13, loses the game, and moves to 11.
Yep. Reinhardt, Georgia falls to 12. So there's going to be some movement in front of you. You know that Southwestern has to play Kansas Wesleyan, so that's a 6-9. Benedictine will play Baker coming up. But here's some of my problem with how the rankings happen in some of these conferences. Some of these teams will play like nobody the rest of the year, right? Like some of these teams, and we look at it every year, have kind of that power puff type schedule, like where there's just nobody on that thing that can beat them. So again, that's why you've got to make those jumps early when those teams are playing good teams.
And with that said, congratulations to the Ravens. They made the largest leap of any team in the national poll this week.
Yep. So, again, the Heart of America Athletic Conference gets, what, 3 teams in the top 25 right now with Grandview, Benedictine, and Baker. So
with that said, we're going to take a quick break. We've got interviews coming up and a lot more. Sports Look continues right after this. We're visiting with Nick Dowell. He's AD at USD 430 South Brown. Coach, it's good to talk to you. How are you today?
Doing great, sir. Thank you for asking.
Early on in the school season, and yet you look around and the activities are in full swing. I mean, you've got kids and things going on all over the place, I suspect.
Oh, yeah. It's been a great start to the year. You know, football's off to a good start. Our volleyball team's improving every day. We got a good cross country team that's out and been running well, and we're just getting as many kids involved as best we can, and are excited with the progress and the direction that they're headed.
Let's talk about numbers. Some schools have, you know, difficulty getting a lot of kids out, but that does not seem to be a big problem for you guys. They love their games.
Yeah, you know, we have in the past. I think every 1-2A school kind of goes through that from time to time. But we're doing better with numbers this year. You know, even football, we're in the 30s, and we've only dressed one senior out this year. So, you know, we've still got a good young crew, you know, bringing back all but one or two kids next year. It will be nice. And then volleyball, the same way. You know, we've got a couple seniors, but a lot of good young kids. And, you know, cross country is the same way. So we're excited to have numbers, excited to have kids being involved, excited that we're going to have a lot of them back for many, many years after this.
Let's talk a little briefly about numbers, you know, in enrollment, which that drives, you know, your classifications and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of where you're sitting and how you're sitting, not only for football, but, you know, I think this year the new basketball ranking comes out, right?
Yeah, we're looking at probably being in 2A and everything this year. I think we're kind of lower middle as far as the volleyball, basketball, track, stuff like that's going to happen. And then we were one kid from being 1A in football, so that kind of tells you where we're at in the football rankings in the 2A. We're the smallest 2A school in the state. We were one kid away from being 1A. But, you know, that's just what we got to do. There's nothing we can do about that, and we're going to play as hard as we can, and the guys have been preparing and getting ready the best they can. Had a big win last week. We're hoping to have a great night Friday night coming into homecoming this week, and just continue the season on the best we can.
I was just going to talk about that. How fantastic was it for your guys who battled and stayed in there? I mean, it's not easy just to stay in, and you get close and you can't quite get over the hump, but last Friday night they made it happen, and that's fantastic.
They did, you know, and it's not just the football program, but all the programs. You know, our main focus is getting better every week, getting better every game, you know, getting better every day. And the kids have gone through some ups and downs, but they've continued to grind, through practices and through their seasons, and continue to do the best they can and work on, you know, individual improvement and team improvement. And they absolutely have done a great job of keeping their head up and continue to fight. And, you know, the outcome last week was outstanding. You know, the kids fought a nice, hard ball game. You know, McLeod came in, gave us everything they had, and it was a one-score ball game at the end. What a great ball game to win. And so great for our kids, for our fans. Everybody was real excited, and we're feeling that excitement continue through this week and into Friday night.
It's not like this is the easiest conference in the state. I mean, there are some really, really good teams in the NEKL.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've got a tough road. You know, our conference turns out, you know, great teams. Our conference, there's so many coaches that I respect so much in this conference, you know, from volleyball, cross country, football, basketball, track, you name it. You know, we have excellent coaching staffs in this conference, excellent athletes, you know, and then, you know, our out of conference, you know, we're going to go up against Nemaha Central, and then we're going to go Sabetha and Riley County. And, you know, we've got a tough road, and we know it, but we've accepted the, you know, the fate of what it is. And to get better, you got to play the better teams. And we're going to continue to do that and do the best we can.
And this week also, I know a lot of coaches are not fans of homecoming week because there are a lot of distractions, but hey, for the kids, the alumni, and I'm sure for you too, homecoming is kind of cool and always a special week.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. You know, the kids have done a great job this week. You know, we had a home volleyball game Tuesday night, and our girls took on the number one team in our conference. And you know, you just talked about the strength of our conference and almost beat the top team in our conference at the moment. So that was exciting. The crowd was into it. The student section was very loud and excited, and it's just great to see the kids coming together, not just kids on the teams, but the entire school come together and supporting each other and just being excited to be a part of it. And we just hope to continue to build and continue down that road.
Last thing I'm going to talk about is we've talked about the kids and the staff and all that, but how great have the fans been? I mean, they have been there through thick and thin, and they are faithful and true to the programs. And you look out there, and it's just so good to see all the people who come.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it is our fan faithful has been awesome. You know, they've stuck with us. You know, no matter what sport it is, they stick with us. They continue to support. You know, and a big thank you goes out to the parents that continue to, you know, do the things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. You know, they do extra meals for the teams. You know, they take care of uniforms, and they do extra stuff that a lot of people don't understand that goes on sometimes at these programs. And the parents and some alumni are just absolute outstanding supporters. And I want to say a big thank you to our administration also. Administration has always stuck with us, has always done the best they can to give us the best opportunities to become better, to improve. You know, and the kids have just been outstanding and have just stuck with it the entire time. And I absolutely love being here at Horton. I love what we're doing, and I think we're going to continue to get better. And it's just exciting what tomorrow might bring.
Coach Dowell, we appreciate your time, and we wish you and the Chargers the best of luck. Look forward to being with you for that big homecoming game.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Brad Hines joins us, a member of the Benedictine College football coaching staff. Coach Hines, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Tom. You know, happy to, you know, sit down and just kind of chat a little bit.
Well, okay. First things first, we got to start with the biography a little bit. And tell us kind of where you're from, background, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from southwest Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati. Went to high school out there and grade school. It moved around a little bit, but came to Benedictine in 2015 as a student and a football player. I was recruited by Coach Gardemeyer and played for Coach Wilcox and graduated in 19. And right after I graduated, I got my degree in finance from Benedictine, and Coach Wilcox hired me on right after I graduated to coach. So entering my fourth season now with the program full time.
Okay, so you know where Erlanger, Kentucky is?
Not 100% familiar with that one. I did live in Ashland, Kentucky when I was very young.
Okay. Ashland, of course, there's a university there, Ashland. And Erlanger, I only throw that out because the guy who played basketball here, Benedictine, Sean Kelly, was an Erlanger, Kentucky guy, and he always kind of claimed it was like, it's almost like suburban Cincinnati area, like Sharonville, maybe.
Okay, yeah. That's, yeah, Kentucky, yeah, it's right on the river. You can be in Cincinnati, you can be in Ohio, and you can be in Kentucky in about 3 minutes, just like how it is here, you know, just being right on the border of Kansas and Missouri.
Okay, let's talk about your high school football career. I mean, obviously you were a high school football player. What was your position and such?
I played tight end, so I went to Bishop Fenwick High School in Franklin, Ohio. So that was about, I lived in Lebanon, Ohio, and I went to the Catholic school, Bishop Fenwick, just about 15 minutes from my house. So I played under Coach Joe Snively there my junior and senior year and played tight end, and really good program. They're undefeated right now, so I kind of like keeping up with them and, you know, see how they're doing all these years after I graduated.
Were your teams any good? Come on, tell us the truth.
We had a rough start my senior year. We started 2-4, but we turned it around and ended up with a winning record, went on a 4-game win streak my senior year, and ended up 6-4, just missed the playoffs. So the top 8 teams in the district will only make the playoffs. So we were first team out. So right after I left, the year after I left, they made it almost all the way to state. So played with a lot of talented guys that were just a year younger than me, and then played with a couple guys in my senior class that were pretty talented and went on to have successful college careers.
So you come to Benedictine. Tell me how that recruiting was. What was it like, and how did they approach you, and did you use the things that they did to get you to come to Benedictine as you reach out to guys?
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of found out about Benedictine on my own, just, you know, really my father, and, you know, kind of researching good Catholic schools with good program, like football programs, because there's a couple good programs out back east where I'm from, but Benedictine really stood out because I was slightly interested in engineering. So it had engineering. So I ended up finding out about the school, did the football questionnaire, and came on a visit, met the coaches, and then stayed in contact with Coach Garmeyer. So it was really the big thing, you know, the big message that resonated with me and my parents was, you know, come here to play football, but, you know, your number one priority is to get your degree. And that is something that, you know, we still, you know, preach to the kids that we recruit and preach it to our kids on the team now is, you know, that's part of our mission. Our mission's threefold, you know, and number one is to graduate, number two is to win, and then number three is to develop their character. So, you know, that degree, you know, in four and a half years was, you know, the number one priority.
So when you got done playing ball and then you decided, did you just know right away? I mean, I don't want to do anything else. I love football. And even though my playing career has ended, I want to stay in it and coach. Is that how that went?
Sort of. So I stopped. I ended up my career after the 2017 career. So that my senior year in 2018, I was a student coach. So I started helping. I played tight end for 3 years. And then when I was a senior and a student coach, I was helping on defense. And it just so happened a couple spots opened up, and, you know, I hadn't had anything locked down for a job after graduation. I had a couple interviews, but, you know, the position opened up, and, you know, that year of coaching, I really did, you know, I'd always loved football, but getting into the coaching aspect, you know, being able to, you know, coach guys and kind of see the other side of it, not just as a player, but as a coach, really, you know, interested me, and, I was just, you know, wanted an opportunity to stay around the game any way possible. And I ended up being able to interview with Coach Wilcox. And, you know, he kind of took a chance on me because most people go the GA route. But, you know, I applied full time and Coach hired me. So I was just thankful for that opportunity and, you know, just being able to stay a part of the game.
Got Brad Hines with us, assistant coach for the Benedictine Raven football team. Coach, was it tough? Was it weird? Was it uncomfortable? Because when you first started going, you mentioned just a moment ago that, you know, you switched over to the other side of the ball when you first started coaching. How was that?
Yeah, going from offense to defense?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a bit of adjustment. I hadn't, my senior year of high school, I didn't play. I probably played maybe two defensive snaps all season. That was in the first game, and I just played only offense, so it was different. I think it's helped me in the long run, just understanding, you know, schematically, you know, what certain types of offenses are going to want to do, and, you know, I think it's been to my advantage, you know, understanding, you know, an offensive mindset, and really it's been more of a defensive mindset for me for the last 4 years, so I think it was a little strange at first and took some adjusting. It wasn't natural, but now it's very natural.
So if you weren't coaching, what do you think you'd be doing today?
That's a tough question. I you know, being a degree in finance, originally thought I didn't want to work, you know, too much with, you know, in big groups or people, but, you know, staying in coaching, and I guess I never really related it to, you know, that being something that, just being part of a football team, you know, you can translate that. I would probably be in the business world of some aspect, maybe in finance. I could maybe see myself going more toward a managerial side if I wasn't coaching. So that's a question. A question I usually get is if I'm going to continue to coach, which I always say yes. As long as there's a team that's going to have me, I'll be coaching.
So a guy like you played on a very good high school team. You've played for, you know, a good Benedictine team and a great coaching staff here. Was there any particular person that was like a football inspiration to you? Maybe even as a kid, you said, man, this guy is just the best ever, and I want to grow up and be like him.
Well, I grew up in Florida. So my dad and my entire dad's side of the family is from Florida and went to the University of Florida. So when I was a kid, I was growing up watching the Florida Gators and Tim Tebow, and he was kind of the go-to, you know, this guy's amazing, Heisman Trophy and national title. So that was kind of like, when I was younger, that was like the guy to look up to, you know, as a player. And then when I got older, it's been, you know, coaches, whether that's, you know, Coach Wilcox, Coach Garmeyer, My high school line coach, Tim Edwards, was a big inspiration for me my senior year and then my freshman year. So guys like that have had, you know, big impacts in my life since I've, you know, matured.
So in college you played tight end, and you're back with that group as you're coaching the tight ends here at Benedictine. You got to love this offense, because I look out of the field and, man, the tight end, they are very important in this offense, and they get their number called a lot.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm not coaching tight. I'm coaching the defensive end.
Right, the end. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going up against the tight ends, and yes, it's a really good, talented group in this offense that, you know, us, our defense has to go up against, you know, in practice. It's very versatile and, you know, multiple, and they've got some really good tight ends in that group. A lot of good, young, talented guys and guys that played at a young age and are now, you know, juniors and seniors and still playing. So, yeah, it's fun to watch our offense when I'm able to watch them during the game. I usually have to watch after the game because we're making adjustments and stuff, but I just go based on the reaction of the crowd.
With the defensive ends, I've always considered them maybe, and I'll probably get some flack for this, the best athlete on the defensive side of the ball, because they not only you like them to be big, but you also need them to be agile. You need them to be very, very smart, because there are a lot of reads and things, I have to suppose.
Yes, yeah, so... It's the popular position now. You can see that, you know, trending in college football, you know, FBS, and then the NFL draft. The top two picks were both defensive ends. So it's a position in high demand for, you know, bigger, taller guys that are also, you know, have that speed and that agility and are able to read on the fly and make adjustments. So it's a fun position to coach. You know, my first 2 years we were 3-4, so I was coaching outside linebackers, but you know, that second year we were rushing that outside linebacker a lot, and coached Brett Shepherdson. So he really fit the mold of, you know, really good defensive end, pass rusher, fast, big, violent, you know, smart guy. So, you know, we're trying to find guys like that. And I have a couple good young guys right now, some good leadership in the senior class as well. So it's definitely a diverse group of, you know, of athletes, but, you know, I enjoy coaching them a lot.
Brad Hines with us, from the Benedictine football staff. And Coach Hines, we hear the term, man. It's gotten really, really popular, really colloquial, the edge rusher. Is that something that you incorporate into this? I mean, how does that all fit into the tight or the defensive end thing?
Yeah, so we call our position group the edge. And, you know, and within that, you know, running a 4-2-5, one of them is going to be a true defensive end, you know, hand in the dirt. You know, he's still got to be a big guy. Obviously a really good athlete. They're going to be your bigger guys, ranging anywhere from, you know, 6'2 to 6'4, 6'5. I've got a guy that's 6'6, 230, 240, 250, 260 pounds. But then you also have the other guy that can be a little bit more of a hybrid, and you can still drop him into coverage, and do some versatile stuff with them and, you know, stand him up or put his hand in the dirt. So, yeah, it's kind of the buzzword now is, you know, edge. One of my players a couple of years ago described it as, to a recruit, he described it as the home run hitter position. So it's definitely, growing in popularity.
Coaches, again, you played football. If you weren't playing football, what were the other sports that you played?
Growing up, I played baseball. You know, from when I was very little. When I got to high school, when it came to be baseball season, I just loved football so much. I decided not to go out for baseball, and just focus on football year round. In retrospect, I probably should have played baseball. I might've been a better, my dad always told me I was a better baseball player than football player, but, just loved football. And so I played football, throughout high school. And then my senior year, after football was over, I ended up playing a season of lacrosse. Just because I had some buddies on the team. It's just something to do senior year. That was a lot of fun. So baseball when I was younger, football, and then a year of lacrosse.
Tell me about baseball. What position were you, Coach?
Shortstop and third.
Okay. Left side of the infield. That's where they come fast.
Yep. It comes at you quick. So it was always fun playing on either travel team, at school team, and city league teams. Usually trying to be on at least two teams at once when I was growing up. So got a lot of baseball games in, but, you know, football was always the the love of, you know, the childhood.
And one other thing, lacrosse. I know way too little about lacrosse, but I'm intrigued by any time you can put a guy out on the field with a stick chasing everybody else around with it. That's pretty, I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I figured it was another opportunity to, you know, it was kind of, it wasn't football, but it was still, you know, you could hit people and that sounded fun. So I had buddies doing it, but, you know, I got out there and found out really quickly that if you were just trying to hit people, you were going to look pretty stupid. So there was a lot more to it than I thought. So I have a pretty, I developed a respect for lacrosse and, you know, what it takes to be good at that sport. And it's always fun, you know, it wouldn't have thought it that, you know, out in Kansas, they were going to have such good lacrosse programs here with our men and women's team, but always enjoy watching them play and, you know, being able to understand some of the rules and stuff is cool too.
When you're not coaching football, what are your hobbies? I mean, do you like, do you paint? Do you, I mean, what do you do?
No, one of the things I love to do, you know, either I'm not, you know, just hanging out with friends or going to, you know, different restaurants or exploring Kansas City. I really like to, just have people over and grill. That's one thing I love to do is just kind of, you know, have people over grill, listen to music, movies, TV, when I can during the off season, play basketball, you know, pick up basketball is something I love. I've never been good at basketball, but I think it's the best and most fun workout you can do. So there's just a couple of things I enjoy.
You need to get yourself a big smoker and, like, throw briskets and stuff on there because I could see you being a scientific guy and kind of getting into that.
Yeah, that I might need to invest in one. I've got a roommate, and he's got one of those smaller electric smokers, but I need one of those, you know, giant ones that take up half the backyard. Maybe that would be one of my hobbies.
Do you have any other, like, hidden talent? Do you sing? Do you, you know, read poetry? I mean, do you have any other things that we wouldn't know about or maybe even expect from you that you can do?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any secret hidden talents that I know of that I can think of right now.
No problem. Now, let me ask, I'm going to ask you one last thing. You're out recruiting. Give me what is the close? Say you got a young guy and you know he fits the program. You think that this is the right school for him. How do you approach him? How do you say, hey, I was there. You should be there too.
Yeah. One of the big things, you know, usually, you know, after talking to them for a while and getting them to understand our culture and our mission, get them on campus, get them to a game, let them talk to current players, and then, you know, ask them, you know, what is the deciding factor for you? What's most important to you? Is it your academics? Is it the football program? Is it feel? Is it proximity to home? Just figure out what's the most important thing for them, and then let them know what our school and our program has to offer that can get them what they want. One big thing that I always say is, you know, this is college, and, you know, the ability to play football in college is unlike any other because, you know, high school football is great, but college football, you're gonna meet the best friends of your life. You know, I'm still best friends with the guys I played with. You're making lifelong friends, connections, and you're learning lessons through football that you're not going to be able to really learn anywhere else. And, you know, it's an investment in yourself, and it's not just the next 4 years, but it's the next 40 years that you're deciding upon. And it's a lot to put on an 17, 18-year-old kid. But you try to give them the big picture and let them know, hey, you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to be successful. We're going to be there for you. And it's always great to, you know, once they commit and get here, year two, three, four, you know, you see where they're at and how much they've grown. That's the really cool thing is seeing where they go after they graduate. That's always something, you know, as a young coach, I'm just now experiencing that, you know, having guys graduate that I coach, you know, go on to be successful after graduation and start families. So that's kind of the cool thing for me right now.
Brad Hines, coach at Benedictine. It's great to talk to you. We always like seeing you up at the games and up around the Amino Center. We wish you all the luck in the world and appreciate the time. And go Ravens, man.
Yes. Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed it. Go Ravens. Yeah.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. And, well, if you just can't wait for some more football, you don't have to wait very long, because here in about an hour, the Kansas City Chiefs will play game two of the football season, as they're going to be at home for their season home opener. It's going to be a big game for KC.
If at any time during segment four you hear that I'm like really distant, it's because I'm in the parking lot trying to run out to get to the TV and watch this game this evening. Kansas City knocked off the Cardinals in week one, 44-21. I thought the Chiefs looked good. I really think the 21 points for the Cardinals all kind of came late. Well, at least 14 of them came late. Patrick Mahomes looked really good. Five touchdown passes. Just was all over the field, able to spread the ball. Really, you want to look up and down and kind of draw some issues. What? We had a little fumble issue from Juju. Had two fumbles, lost one, recovered one. And then you had Mecole Hardman with only one catch. But again, it was a touchdown. So
yeah, all in all, a tremendous outing for the team. Are there things to work on? Of course there are. It's game one of a very, very long 17-game season. So
17 is so long.
It is. It's a bunch of football.
So Kansas City hosting the Chargers tonight. So much pageantry around this game. So much hype around this game. And then you give me like a B-team flyover, right? Like, I know you like the A-10s,
yes.
But, you know, give me the stealth bomber every day, okay?
Yes.
But I do like the field design for today, where they went back to the old school gold end zones with the lowercase letters. I mean, I think that'll be kind of neat.
Yeah, it will be. It should be cool. You know, a little retro look. What do you think?
So when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are a 4-point favorite. You know, home field gets you 3. So basically, you're figuring on a neutral site, Kansas City's still a favorite.
Right.
You feel good about this thing?
Very good.
Okay.
I think the Chargers are really good, but I just think Kansas City's outstanding. I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I just think they're really good.
Yeah, you know, and I think the other thing that for Kansas City right now is their defense looked a little better than a lot of people anticipated. Now, I know that it's against the Cardinals, but they've got a lot of really good young players. I know McDuffie's not going to play tonight. I'm going to tell you, Jalen Watson's okay, but I really like Williams, your rookie out of Ferris State. You brought in big cornerbacks, right? Like, these two guys are 6'3 cornerbacks. Like, they're at least guys that are going to be able to get their hand in there and make a problem of things.
And, of course, you know how I love that running game? Clyde did well.
Yeah, Clyde looked really good in week one. You know, he caught the ball out of the backfield. The Chiefs set up the pass game with the run, right? And when you can run the ball effectively, all of a sudden your pass game is really going to open up that much more. And I think if they can do that this week against the Chargers, they'll be fine. Everybody keeps talking about Bosa and Khalil Mack, but you know what they're not talking about? The Chiefs probably have one of the best lines in the NFL, right? Like, you're going to put Orlando Brown out there. Wiley played really good in week one. I'm a little worried about those guys because, again, they can wreak havoc. But I just think this offensive line is so good that I think the Chiefs would be okay keeping Patrick upright.
Other games, big games going on. Of course, you know, you go to Sunday and you've got the Dolphins at the Ravens. Dolphins played pretty well last week. I think surprised me, frankly.
Yeah, again, they beat the Patriots so many times in recent history. But again, I think the Dolphins look good. They had a lot of weapons. The Ravens looked pretty okay. But again, take that with a grain of salt because they're playing the Jets. Lamar Jackson is going to get tired of talking about the contract situation this year. He says he's like done, broke off the talks until after the year. And it came out that the Ravens did offer him like $250 million. He said no because he wanted it all guaranteed. And I just don't think you can guarantee a player like that that is running so much. You can't give him a guaranteed contract because what happens if he goes out and gets hurt? You're done. So I get it from both sides.
Who dreamed that the Bengals would be a favorite at the Cowboys?
I feel bad for whatever network got that game because, you know, prior to the season, you're saying, man, I get Joe Burrow versus Dak Prescott, Cowboys, Bengals. Should have been a fun game. It's not going to be. Okay, Cincinnati will win that thing by 7. I don't care if Burrow throws another 5 interceptions against the Cowboys. The over-under, very small at 41.5. They're not expecting a whole lot of points in that thing. Go to Sunday night. I don't care about it. Packers and Bears, that game being played in Green Bay. Green Bay a 10-point favorite in that thing, the over-under 41.5. Monday night, you're going to get a doubleheader this week. 6:15, Titans at the Bills. Buffalo, a 10-point favorite in that thing. And Vikings at the Eagles Monday night, 7:30.
How smart is the NFL? They started Thursday night football. High school games, of course, then go on Friday and college Saturday. You got Sunday football all day. Then you got Sunday night football. And now you got a doubleheader on Monday. The Shield is brilliant.
Yeah, the Shield knows what they're doing, right? They just print it over there.
Hey, going quickly to the NCAA, the Kansas Jayhawks are kind of the buzz of the nation right now.
Yeah, Kansas playing pretty well, right? I said it last week on Sportsbook. I didn't think they could win at Morgantown. Did not. I said it that I thought they could be close. I didn't think that, you know, I thought 13.5 was too much in that game because I think Kansas is well coached. I think Lance Leipold is not allowing some of that, you know, outside things to bring this program down. And, you know, right now they're playing good. Here will be a nice test. Going to Houston on Saturday afternoon, that's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Houston a 9-point favorite. But, again, you're going to get a good judge for how good this Kansas team is. And I'm going to tell you, if KU starts 3-0, they're going to put the Lance Leipold statue right next to Bills.
They might. And by the way, there were more than a few upsets last weekend.
Oh, man. Did you have a favorite upset or an upset that just, like, you sat there going, wow?
You know, with just pretty much all of them, I think, you know, probably the Notre Dame loss was probably the one that stunned me the most.
I think for me, I think the cool thing was that the Sun Belt went 3-0, right? Yeah. Like in those big games.
And they took $3 million home.
Yeah. And my thing, my game probably was App State over Texas A&M, especially after it leaked out what Texas A&M was talking and how they thought that would be an easy game. And then Appalachian goes in there and wins. And, you know, that's a program that's won some big games, right? They went to the Big House in, like, what, 7-8, something like that, and won. So.
And then, of course, you end up with one of those games making a change already in the head coaching position up in Lincoln.
Yeah, you know, but
we've been talking about Scott for a while.
You've seen that coming, yeah. Right? So, with that all said, Tulane is going to be at Kansas State on Saturday. Wildcats 14-point favorite. Kansas State looked really good against Mizzou on Saturday. After 87 rain delays later, they finally got that thing knocked out. Does anybody care about Oklahoma at Nebraska?
Absolutely, you'd be surprised. There are tons of people. Because it goes back to 1971, and they'll never get over that. Number six, Oklahoma.
That was the last time Nebraska was decent, right?
Well,
maybe not.
Well, almost.
Can I tell you? Ready?
Yeah.
That will be a close game.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just every time there's a coaching change, yeah, you kind of see that happen, and then everybody goes, wow, wait a second. So I think that's one of those games to maybe keep an eye on.
And you're going to keep an eye on the Hurricanes as they will go to Texas A&M, Battle of Nationally Ranked Teams. And look for you. It's going to be a Saturday night kind of a game.
Yeah, 8 p.m. kickoff. Texas A&M is a 5.5-point favorite, but I think this is a good chance for Miami fans to get a good feel for what Mario Cristobal has done for the program and just how far along are they, because I know Texas A&M did lose last week, but I'm going to tell you, they're kind of on that upset alert. They know what's coming, and I really think that should be the knockout game of the night. It will not be the ABC game, which is like, I don't know, it's terrible, like Michigan State and somebody, so nobody cares about it. But yes, everybody should tune into that Miami-Texas A&M Saturday night. It's the ESPN game.
And everybody cares about and should tune into our broadcast schedule over this weekend. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Horton, Kansas. Valley Falls at Horton. 7 o'clock kickoff for high school football Friday night. And then on Saturday afternoon, pregame here on Care Radio at about 12:30 and a 1 o'clock kickoff from Dubuque, the Benedictine Ravens at Clark. Got to thank our wonderful Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.